traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. We're leaving the station here in Delray Beach, getting ready to take our journey throughout the equestrian world everywhere. We know we got the Kentucky Derby coming up. We just had the Longines Global Champions Tour at Miami. They're moving that one next month. They'll be in Mexico. And so that's going to be something exciting. We'll carry that live on IENTV.org. We'll carry that live starting at the end of the month or next month with it. And you're going to see a lot of live things on IEN this time. As a matter of fact, we got America's Day at the races. It's live. It's racing, live thoroughbred racing coming from quite a few tracks across the country. It's a good afternoon's worth of horse racing. Goes on to about 6:30, 7 o'clock tonight. That was the last races out from the West Coast. It's a great program, America's Day at the races. Keeps you up, and it's all live. And that's what I like about it. It's all live. And then we have one thing that I'm excited about is Derby. We're 2 weeks away from the Kentucky Derby. 2 weeks from today is the Kentucky Oaks. But Derby week starts on Monday, and they'll run 10 days of all kinds of festivals and different, you know, things that they have there at Churchill. And one of the things that I always like to do this time is we have a documentary called Run for the Roses, History of the Kentucky Derby. It's really a good video. I think you'll really like it. And it tells you about the Derby, when it started, how it started, and how big it got, you know, and how big it's getting. It's getting even bigger because they've done a lot of renovation at Churchill, and they put in new bleachers and stadium seating and clubhouse seating, and they've changed everything there from what I first knew it back in the early 80s. And it's really a good deal, but it's a good documentary, and it's very educational, you know, something that you can go to and find and watch. And then after you watch this, and then when you watch the Kentucky Derby, which you can watch live on IEN, coming up in 2 weeks, it'll help you understand the Derby more and appreciate it, you know, a little bit more. And you know, this is the toughest job of the whole Kentucky Derby week. It's tougher than racing in a race. It's tougher than anything. If you go down to on IEN, the Churchill Downs, it'll say backside tour of Churchill Downs. And what that is they're going to take you around and show you around. But more importantly, they show the blanket of roses, how they make the blanket of roses for the winner of the Kentucky Derby. And having said that, you will be able to watch it live. Next 2 weeks, you'll be able to watch it live on IEN, how Kroger Grocery Company, how their florists make the blanket of roses. It's quite a process. And once you see it, you'll just sit there and you just shake your head and say, my God, it takes, you know, 7 or 8 hours to make that blanket of roses. And then they show you how they transport it over to Churchill Downs and take it to the winner's circle. But that'll be live in 2 weeks. You'll be able to see that. And then the next day, watch the Derby on IEN, and you'll be able to see that blanket that was made on Friday put on the horse on Saturday. So that'll be pretty good deal there. And then what we're trying to do is kind of give you an idea of what it takes to get to the Kentucky Derby, how they get there. And so on IEN, we have, for example, we have the 2023 Louisiana Derby. It's the full race, and it's a Derby point race. You have to have so many points, you know, to get into the Kentucky Derby this year, or every year, actually. And so just to give you an idea how these horses train and get there, you know, what it takes, it's not an easy picnic for them. It's really tough. And a lot of the horses you see in the following races aren't even going to be in the Derby. They didn't get enough points, you know, or they just weren't really good enough to do it. And like I said, if you go to IEN, you see the fairgrounds, how they get there, 2023. It's the entire race for the Louisiana Derby. That was kind of like the big starting point where you start really weeding out all the lesser horses, and you get, you know, down to one or two out of there that'll be going on to the Kentucky Derby. And then we go to Gulfstream Park, how they get there. It's the Florida Derby. It's a full broadcast race. It's different than the Louisiana Derby. Louisiana, they had a lot of weather and had a lot of issues. Florida, they had really good weather. And what I'm trying to explain to you is that you watch all these races, and when you see, when we're getting ready to talk about the 20 horses for the Derby, you can go back and see how, you know, they did in the Florida Derby. You can see how they did in the Louisiana Derby and how they kind of separated them and go, you know, different ways. Brad Cox was in Louisiana most all of the winter, and he did good. And Pletcher was in Florida all winter, and he did very, very well. And so it just makes it exciting, you know, to see. And then we have Keeneland. We have the Bluegrass Stakes, another Derby Point track. And you see how they ran in the Derby, and you see who won it. And then you'll see how they load up in for the Kentucky Derby this year. Then we go down to Oakland Park on how they get there. You'll see the Arkansas Derby. It was a great race. You kind of judge and see how they finished there and look for them in the Derby coming up in 2 weeks. You know, that was a good race. Santa Anita, on how they get there, had the Santa Anita Derby. Got its full coverage, and it really was good. Interesting to see who's going to do what and when and where out of these races. And then we go to Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Downs had the Tampa Bay Derby, which is a great race. It was really good. Then we forgot Aqueduct up there. We had the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, another point race for the Derby. That was really good from Aqueduct. It was the Wood Memorial. It was a great race. You know, what can you say? Those are the major races that get you to the Kentucky Derby. And you know, everybody, unfortunately, like they say, the Kentucky Derby is the greatest 2 minutes in sports. And when you really get down to it, there's not a lot of people that can talk Derby with you this time, like this time of year. They're starting to be able to talk Derby with you now because, you know, there's a lot of media coverage and television coverage of it. You know, so people can start talking. But back over the winter, you know, nobody talked Derby. Nobody talked Derby at all. And now we're to the point to where we can do that, and we're refining the process, and you can come to IEN and look at it and make some intelligent conversations with your friends about the Derby horses, you know, that are getting there. We got a real good one with Todd Pletcher on our how they get there, the 2023 Kentucky Derby, and Meet the Trainer. And it's a real good video of Todd before and after the Florida Derby. So that one's a good one to take a look at. You know, I tell you, I was really surprised this year at how everything panned out for everybody. I mean, I was really, really impressed. You know, some of the horses that I looked at, I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I don't know what it's gonna be like, you know. And here we've got the Todd Pletcher horses at our Palm Beach Downs facility, which we just started sending back up north last week to Churchill and to Keeneland and to New York. And we got all three of our Derby horses that are up at Churchill now, Churchill and Keeneland. So Forte worked this morning. He worked good there at Keeneland. And so we're sending him up this afternoon to Churchill. But the whole story is that 20,000 foals are born a year, and only 20 run in the Kentucky Derby 3 years later. And we're very blessed here at Palm Beach Downs to have a client like Todd Pletcher. We've got horses that are running, you know, on Derby Day. Plus, and we have three in Palm Beach Downs that are running in the Derby. So just to get a horse in the Derby is what they say, it's a chance of a lifetime and a lifetime a chance. And there's been people that have been in the Derby many, many years, 40, 50, 60 years, and never had a horse good enough for the Derby. And here we've been blessed here at Palm Beach Downs to have three horses in the Derby this year. And in the previous years, we've had, you know, multiple horses in the Derby. And that's because of our client, Todd Pletcher, and his owners. And so, you know, it's kind of nice. It gives you a little more excitement to know that those are the horses that we had here all winter long. And same for all the other people that, in the Derby that have just maybe just one horse in. You know, the excitement is there. It's something you dream about. Like we've been talking all year long here about how they get there. And, you know, it starts right out with the owner. It starts right with the owner. You got to get to that owner. And once he gets the ball in motion, as they say, you know, it's really something different and unique. The owner, of course, you know, he puts up a lot of money to buy the horses and everything. And a lot of times what he'll do is he'll meet with his trainer and they'll start telling, you know, what they look for and you know, just kind of move along there. But the owner, he's got the toughest job in the whole world here, I would think. He's got to get the right horse. You know, he's going to pay a lot of money for the horse. You've got to get the right trainer and that fits the type of horses that you're buying. And once you get that far, you know, it's just fill in the blank after that. The owner and the trainer get together and say, okay, well, you know, we've got two, three, four, however many horses, and how are we going to get them to the Derby? And each one of them's path and journey to the Derby is different. There's not a set program for any horse anywhere or any trainer anywhere. I've seen horses get to the Derby from out, you know, from out west, and the road they took was quite different than what you normally would think. Then we've got horses that pop up here right at the end, you know, right before the Derby. A draw comes up and you're trying to get in, and hopefully you got enough points to get in, you know, and if you do, then you know, you get into the Derby. But a lot of things can go wrong along the way. All the owners know that, and that's the chance they're willing to take. And so they get the best horses that they physically know how to get that'll fit your trainer's training style and you know, the plan. And so now the owner and the trainer get together and they said, okay, where does our journey start at? You know, here, they're coming to get the horse at the farm. And, you know, what's our first step, Mr. Trainer? Where are we going with this horse to train to get him ready for the Derby? And, you know, sometimes it's, it could be Kentucky. It could be New York. It could be Maryland, Florida, Arkansas, California. You know, it could be a multitude of tracks that you'd go to start it, you know, on his journey to the Derby. And the one thing that you got to worry about is weather. And the thing that happened this year, the weather was bad in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where the Arkansas Derby's at, and the weather was bad in Louisiana at the fairgrounds where they have the Louisiana Derby. And so that was interesting. And then what it was actually, this is actually was weather related, is in California, they had trouble with heat and the winds where they couldn't train a few days over the winter. And so, you know, you're saying, oh man, what's going on? New York, same thing, rain, you know, really bad, you know, weather. This winter. But in Florida, it stayed pretty good. The only weather we had this year was a couple of weeks ago, and we got 25 inches of rain in Gulfstream Park, and we got 18 inches of rain here at Palm Beach Downs, our thoroughbred training center. But what was nice is the trainers come back off to us here at Palm Beach Downs, and Todd said that track was that's the best it's been in a long time. And because we do put a lot of water on it. And so, you know, we didn't miss any training there. And you know, that helps a lot. Over at Palmetto's, Gulfstream's sister training track outside of Gulfstream, up here, they missed like 10 days because of weather and, you know, various reasons on there. So it's hard, you know, to keep a horse fit, ready to go to the Kentucky Derby just by, you know, wind, you know, weather, you name it, it could happen. And so that was a quick summary, or slow summary, I might say, of the racing that it took to get into the Kentucky Derby this year. You know, so now you're to the point where you're 2 weeks away from the Derby. And if you're not ready now, you'll never be ready. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that you can show that horse in order to, you know, to bump him up. You're as fit as you're going to be, and all you got to do is maintain it. And that's an awful tough thing to do. And hopefully you're in the right spot at the right time. And so that, you know, that's the long and short of that story. You know, you're on luck now. You just hope nothing happens during the 2 weeks getting into Derby, and that you can train every day on the track, and that the weather's good, and, you know, just kind of like go from there with it. And so at the Kentucky Derby Festival, they're very, very good. They've got a good website to go to. They've got all kinds of visitor information, travel and parking, maps and directions, what to wear, what to expect. And a lot of people really never been to the Derby. You know, it's just amazing. It just inundates them with all the things that they can say and do and talk about the Derby before they go. It's completely different after they go. You know, they plan on doing this, and this. And the best thing to do is just go to the Kentucky Derby website and take a look at it, and they'll help you, you know, go through the things. And, for example, like what to expect at the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby is unlike any other sporting event, with a crowd of more than 150,000 people. Unparalleled history and tradition, and it's a unique spectacle. Kentucky Derby has been described by Forbes magazine as one of the greatest bucket list sporting events in America. Every year, on the first Saturday in May, thousands of guests gather under the Twin Spires farm, under the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs, to create a lifelong memory with their friends and family. And that's what, you know, I like about horse racing, is because we have things like the Louisiana Derby, the Arkansas Derby, Florida Derby, Wood Memorial, you know, the Bluegrass. It takes you over quite a few states and everything, and you make memories and traditions. And for example, today my niece, Alex, she called me from her home in North Carolina, and she says, "Uncle Scott," she says, "I'm coming down on May the 1st. She started a tradition with some people that she met at the Kentucky Derby quite a few years ago. And what happened is they all couldn't get to Churchill that first Saturday in May. And so what they did is they said, what we'll do is their group of, I think they got like six different people, families, you know, that get together. And they said, every year we'll pick one of the families and we'll go to their house, and we'll celebrate the Kentucky Derby, you know, with the friends in that town, you know, in that area of the United States. And this year, they're going to be in Key West, Florida, and they're going to have a big Derby party there in Key West. And Alex is going to be down here visiting with me here at the farm on the 1st and 2nd. And that's our tradition that we started, Alex and myself, a few years back when I got cancer. She came down and she was with me when I had my surgery. She stayed with me till I started getting up to where I could get back on my feet again. And so now this is our third year in a row that we're going to have our tradition. We're going to a nice sports bar. It's called Flanagan's. They're all over South Florida. And so we're going to go there. We're going to have dinner and meet some friends and, you know, have our get together, our yearly get together there. And then we're going to go over to a place here in South Florida. It's a beautiful, beautiful restaurant. It's called the Banana Boat. And we're going to go over there and have a dinner the next day on Tuesday. And then she's going on down to Key West for her Derby party, her Derby week. And so there's a lot of people that are doing that across the United States now. You know, with traveling and expenses and everything, they're having the Derby parties at home. And, I mean, some of them are really, really getting big. They have the big barbecues and they have they bet on the horses right there in their own backyard, and you know they do a little bit of everything. But it's their way they celebrate Derby. And once you go to the Derby, it's just a fantastic feeling that you get, and that's when you realize that it's the memories that you have that when you go. That's what it's all about. You create and make memories. And that's something that nobody can ever take away from you. You will always have those memories and who you shared it with and how you shared it with. And before you know it, you know, as you get older, you look back and say, well, gee whiz, we've been doing this get together every Derby for the last 20 years, you know, and that makes it great. It's nice to go to the Derby, you know, and do that. But it's also a nice way to celebrate with your friends and, you know, at your homes. So that makes it nice. But the Kentucky Derby is kind of something, you know, unusual and unique. Everybody has a different take on it and how they experienced it, you know, and if they liked it, if they didn't. You know, it was kind of interesting to see. The fashion that they have at the Derby and is world recognized worldwide is for the ladies are the dresses, the shoes, and the hats. The hats above all. Everybody gets a you know a Derby hat and they come to the Derby and they show it off and people you know it's really something to see and the clothing that they wear on Kentucky Oaks Day and Kentucky Derby Day. And what's funny is a lot of the girls don't want to wear the same hat to the Derby twice. And, you know, I don't know why it is, but they do. You know, they want to get a new hat every year and, you know, have a different theme on their hat, and, you know, that type of thing. And then there's some that like their original hat that they started with, and they wear that every year. They make, you know, they make that a tradition and everything. And then, you know, I feel so bad because when you go to Churchill and you go by the entrance to the gate to where everybody comes in, you go out there and you see all the women dressed unbelievable. I think, you know, they're the best looking women in the world and girls in the world. There at Churchill on Saturday, and they've got their dresses on and their hats. And you can tell the newcomers that are coming in because they're wearing high heel shoes. And that just doesn't go on the bricks and the grounds around Churchill. They look nice, but they're sure not practical. So then, you know, that's when you learn that next time you go to a Derby party, you're going to have flat shoes, comfortable shoes. You can still wear your nice you know, your nice dress and everything, and the guys can wear their suits and, you know, whatever they wear, but everybody wears tennis shoes, flat shoes, because they're going to be on them 10, 12 hours for the day, and that's what they do. You know, I tell you, there's many ways that the Derby is the world's largest and most entertaining fashion show. With special hats, outfits, you'll be on your feet walking a lot, and you'll find that your seat, and you'll find your seat, explore the infield, visit the paddock plaza, and make trips to the wagering booths and to the concession stands. I tell you, it's really something else. And the one thing that you don't want to do when you get there is they have the mint julep glass. It's a souvenir glass. And they're nice to have. But boy, once you get that mint julep out of there and probably have another julep or two, it becomes quite a task to get your glasses back and forth without breaking them. You know, it makes it tough to do. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting, you know, thing there. And a lot of people says, well, I've got three family members at home, and I'm going to bring them a mint julep glass back. Well, after you had three or four mint juleps, those glasses get kind of hard to carry, you know, that type of thing. And so, you know, that's, these are things that you got to look about, you know, the possibilities of what you're going to do and you know, go from there. You pack up a couple pairs of flip-flops. Those are comfortable, you know, and you can change into them any time during the day. And let me tell you, your legs will thank you for it, that's for sure. So, you know, that's something to think about when you're going to the Derby. See, it's just not as easy as going to the picture show, to the movies. That's for sure. When you go to the Derby, you got to think about a little bit about everything, you know, what you're going to be doing there, you know, with it. The crowd is something that's really unusual. And the size and the energy of the crowd at the Kentucky Derby is a huge part of the event's appeal. With on-track attendance, over 150,000 people will be there. The Kentucky Derby is significantly larger than comparable sports events in this country. It's just amazing, you know, that the people you'll see there. And, you know, when you think about you're getting 150,000 people into, you know, into a facility to watch horse racing, that's an awful lot of people, you know, that have standing shoulder to shoulder. And then you've got to worry about safety and security and what can you bring, you know, to the Derby with you. And let me tell you, the best advice is, it's just to come in with nothing. You know, don't be bringing your purse. Don't be bringing your cane, your walking stick, coolers, any of that. You know, when you go there, just go as lightly as you can, and it'll work for you. You know, I guarantee it. Those are the kind of things that you want to do to make your stay much more enjoyable. You know, you got to find your parking spot out there, which is tough to do. You know, got a long way to walk up to get into the place. And then, of course, you go in, you got your tickets and your seats and everything, you know, that you can set at. But let me tell you, that long walk to the from the parking lot to your car is nothing compared to that long walk when you're leaving to your car. Because when you get to your car, there's 150,000 people trying to go home. And let me tell you, it takes you an hour or two to get out of there, that's for sure. You know, when you do that. But once you get into Churchill, when you first arrive, the best thing I could tell you to do is just walk around. You know, get your bearings, where your seat's at. And then you go out and find out where your restrooms are at. You find out where you can place your bets, you know, in the concession stand. That's always, you know, the best way to do it. You know, just take a few hours in an early day, part of the day, and just walk around and enjoy the sights and the sounds and the people and, you know, kind of get the layout of it so you know what people are talking about when they talk to you and everything. So I kind of like doing that. And then see how good you got or how bad you got it. And, you know, it's great. And that's great. So that's about all I can tell you about going to the Derby. You know, it's a good place to go. You're going to experience things that are different. And when you can have somebody standing right next to you And let me tell you, the way they see it and where they're standing, which is right next to you, is going to be 100% different than what you see. I guarantee it. You know, I guarantee it. You know, and you know, when we get into festivals like this, you know, we're looking at, they got called Thunder Over Louisville. And let me tell you, if you want to go see a fireworks show, the Zambellis are the best in the business, Zambelli Brothers. Let me tell you, that show is choreographed, and all the fireworks are choreographed with music. And I tell you, it is just unbelievable when you go there and just sit and watch a fireworks show on the downtown on the river in Louisville, and to see, you know, an hour's worth of fireworks go off. You know, that's scary when you think about it. It is scary. You know, I don't know how often you've been able to see 4th of July fireworks or New Year's Eve fireworks, like, say, from New York or what have you. But the Thunder Over Louisville is the largest fireworks show in the United States. And it's just unreal what you see there. And, you know, I was sitting there the other day just thinking, all the power that goes into that, those projectiles that go up in the air. And for to see it for an hour long, it's quite a process. You know, they build a fireworks stand on the 2nd Street Bridge from Jeffersonville, Clarksville, Indiana, over to Louisville. And they use the 2nd Street Bridge as the platform to shoot the fireworks from. And it's all electronic. And like I said, it's choreographed to the music. And I tell you what, it's something else. It's something else to go see. During that time, when you get over there, they had the Thunder Over Louisville air show too, and that is just, it shows all of our military planes, and you would be surprised what you see. They have the 123rd Special Tactics Squadron parachute team, and they parachute into you know, into the riverfront there. They have the A-10 Warthog fighter wing. They have the C-130J Super Hercules from Louisville National Guard. They have the C-17 Globemaster. That plane is unbelievable. They have the Golden Knight from the U.S. Army. They have the CT-155, which is a Royal Canadian Air Force outfit. And, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. You see the best fighter jets that we have, you know, some of the biggest bombers that we have. You know, it's something that's just, you just can't explain to people. And when you go there and you see it and it's all overhead, you're thinking, my goodness, you know, where did these people learn how to do what they do? You know, and that's really good. And then, of course, they got the Pegasus Parade in downtown Louisville. They got the steamboat race where they have the Belle of Louisville will race against other steamboats out on the river, which is good to see. They have the balloon race. And what I like is the balloon blow the night before. They'll have approximately 30 balloons, and you go out to the fairgrounds in Louisville, and they light the balloons up the night before. They don't actually take off, but, you know, you can see what they look like. And in the dark, it's really amazing, the colors and things that you see. And then early the next morning, you go back out to the fairgrounds there in Louisville, and they have the balloon race, and they take off and they go, you know, so many miles away, and they have what they call the hair balloon, and that was the winner of last year's balloon race. And what they do is they'll fly maybe, you know, for 30, 40 minutes to an hour, and then they drop a big red bag, and that's the drop point. They put up a target or a bullseye, and then the other balloons, they try to get as close as they can to that mark, and they drop their little sandbag out. And the closest one is the winner of the race, and you know, and it's really cool to see. It's something different, something real different. And then on Derby Day, or well, actually, on Kentucky Oaks Day, at Churchill Downs, the first race is at 10:30 a.m. So I would suggest that you get over there about 8 o'clock if you want to see all the races. And they go on a half hour schedule. Down through race 13. They have 13 races on Kentucky Oaks Day. And they start at 10:30 a.m. and go all the way up to 7 p.m. So it's a long day when you go there. And then on Derby Day, race one is at 10:30 a.m. and then the last race is at 8:30 p.m. It's a 14 race card, and they run about every half hour too. Going through there, so that's really good to, you know these things that you want to do, you know, when you go there, the times and everything. So the Road to the Kentucky Derby concept was, it's 149 years old, and you talk about changes over the years, you know, it has really changed. And so in the last, I'd say in the last 20 years, they started to refine the program. More people started coming to the races at Churchill and you know, following the Triple Crown, which is the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness in Baltimore, and the Belmont Stakes in New York. And so they started following it more. And Churchill stepped up their game, and they started doing things to get people there to watch the Derby. And then they created the Pegasus Parade, and they just started moving right on. And I was really surprised to see what they did in Baltimore for the Preakness. And then they carry it over to Belmont. And they all have their own things and the way they do it, but it's great. You know, it's something to look forward to. And but the Kentucky Derby started the point system. And it was kind of interesting, you know, to see how it was going to work out the first couple of years. And it worked out pretty good. Because back in the day, when I was younger, you didn't have to have points to get into the Derby. You just had to, you know, have a horse that, you know, you're getting up to the Derby and you know, getting ready to go in. And if you had more than 20 horses, then what would happen is they would take the horse that had the most money earning. And they would make the Derby. The top 20 Derby winner, money earners for the Derby would be there. So after a while, you know, it got kind of tough. They wanted to refine it. They wanted to make sure that the horses ran a good race, and they wanted to make sure they were healthy when they came in. So, you know, that kind of threw things around. And then the trainers had to start plotting out their journey to Churchill Downs. You know, I can go here to Louisiana and maybe get enough points. I can go here to Arkansas, California, and maybe get enough points. So then you get about halfway through the season getting ready to the Kentucky Derby. That would approximately be the middle of February. And then you're saying, oh, man, I got to get at least 20 more, 30 more points. Where do I go? So then you end up traveling. You know, you might be in West Virginia, Kentucky, Illinois, you know, wherever they got points, you're going for them to get them and everything. And so that makes it tough. That makes it tough because, you know, this year we had a lot of good horses, and some of the real good horses didn't make it because they didn't have, you know, enough points to get into the Derby this year. And so it's really kind of a head scratcher, where you go, what you do, and how you do it. And what I like to do is I like to catch about 30 of the top horses at the beginning of the year in January. and start following them and then kind of weed them out. And then Byron King does the same thing. It's called the Derby Dozen, presented by Spendthrift Ford. And so it's it was one of those years this year. You had about 40 horses, and at any given time until a month ago, that top 20 was still open, to get in. And I think this year is one of the biggest years that they've ever had as far as getting horses to the Derby. You had so many horses with, here 2 months ago with 30 or 40 points. And if they win, you start looking, where can I go to win and get 20 points and get into the field solidly? Or, to run second or third and get into the field. And, man, I tell you what, the horse vans were rolling. They were moving them around. That was for sure. So this year, Byron King's Derby Dozen, leading the field is Forte, trained by Todd Pletcher in Repo Stable. He's out of he's by a young stallion, Violence, which is really throwing some winners out there this year. He's really good. The Kentucky Derby favorite took his first laps around Churchill Downs Oval on the 18th of April. He also worked this morning, but I don't have that in front of me, what his time was on that. After arriving by van from Florida the previous day, his mid-month arrival should give him two breezes beneath the Twin Spires in preparation for the May 6th Classic. So he breezed today, and then he'll probably breeze next Wednesday, maybe Thursday, something like that. And just, tighten him up before the Derby. He's won races at Belmont Park, Saratoga Racecourse, Keeneland, and Gulfstream. So, that tells you that this horse is a winner. He's right there. Then Todd had another horse, Tappet Trice. This horse is an animal. I'm telling you, you don't know where he's going to run or how he's going to run. He just comes running at you. If there were one where you could simply compare to last year's Derby, perhaps, the victory in the Bluegrass Stakes was arguably better than Forte's Florida Derby win. He was more responsive to his rider on the second turn, while Forte needed to stretch to find high gear. And so now, we're starting to talk about little things like a jockey's race, for example. Just by these little things that we're going through here now. And I tell you, they say you're only as good as your last race. And that is so much true. That is so much true. It's like the three choices, Angel of Empire. He's a very, very nice horse, trained by Brad Cox. And I said, if you were to have Brad Cox run the race, he would run it just like Angel of Empire. Angel of Empire was really tough. The Arkansas Derby and the Risen Star Stakes, winner breezed a half mile in company of Louisiana Derby seventh place finisher Tappet's Conquest. Yeah, and that's what he's done. So you see they're working these horses with horses that have been really in good competition, and it's really getting them to where, they're down to business. The fourth rated in our Derby Dozen was Practical Move. Now, this horse is really a nice horse. He was trained by Bob Baffert, but then he was put over to Tim Yankton's barn because Bob was not allowed to be at the track at Churchill over here, so because of some pending investigations that they had. But he's a nice horse. Two Fills. Two Fills is the horse that came out of the box running at the beginning of the year, and he just was going to tear him up and everything, but he kind of slid off the scale here in the last few weeks. So, take that into consideration. And then we got to six, we got Verified. Verify is a very, very nice horse. He's trained by Brad Cox. And Hunter Valley Farm is the owners, which I think is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him because I don't think he's seasoned enough to get to the Derby. You know, I mean, well, he got to the Derby, but I just don't think he's seasoned enough to, you know, get in with those kind of horses, 20 across the field, and then you know, go for it. This is a horse coming from Japan. It's Derma Spokate. This horse is something else. They get them fit, and then they get over here, and they can't get them to do what they want them to do. So now a lot of the Japanese trainers send riders over to start the learning process, and then come back and take their horses back over to the farm. And this King's Barn, Spencer Farm, Todd Fletcher deal. You know, I tell you, he was second in the last in the Louisiana Derby, second. The Fairgrounds, of course, and Slots did not flatter the form his third place finish warranted. Very, very nice horse. And also, these are the kind of things that, you know, we're going through, and we can talk into in-depth, and I can go on and on and on, you know, about these horses and where they've been and how they're getting there. It's scary, you know, when you start looking at it. Like I said, we had Forte. Going to run down these real quick. We had Forte, trained by Todd Fletcher, jockey Iran Ortiz. He last won the Grade 1 Florida Derby in April. That was his big shot to fame right there, which was good. We got Practical Move with Tim Yankton. That's from Bob Baffert's assistant trainer that's now training a lot of Bob sub horses. This horse, the last big deal was the Santa Anita Derby. And that was the last big one that they had. And now it's the Kentucky Derby. And then we got Brad Cox is always coming around with good horses. He's got a horse called Angel of Empire. He's ridden by Luis Saez. And he's really tough. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, with this horse. And because number four, right behind Angel of Empire, we have Tappet Trice, which is Todd Pletcher's horse. And Luis Saez is supposed to be riding this one, too. So you can't ride two. So that's another thing that, you know, we've been talking about, and planning your jockeys and, you know, doing what you need to do. And so you've got the jockey, same jockey for one horse and same jockey for two horses. And you don't know what in the heck you're going to do with them. And you know, the jockey knows. He knows from his galloping the horses to be, you know, a little bit crazy. A little bit crazy. And that's what we're doing with these horses. Got two jockeys, you know, for two horses, or one jockey for two horses, and who they're going to take. Now, my thing is I think that Saez is going to take Tappet Trice. I think he's going to take him because he knows what he has, and he's very lightly raced. And I think that's what's going to happen with him. But you know, again, you know, you're into the trainers and the owners, and he's got to look down the road. You know, what kind of horses does Todd Fletcher have for me in the future? And what kind does Brad Cox have for me? If the stable that Fletcher's in has got a ton of horses, you know, waiting there for Saez, he's going to go with him. Or vice versa, if Brad Cox has a bunch of horses for him down the road, he's going to go with Brad, you know, on there. So, again, you know, we're looking at the top four horses. They're all capable of winning the Derby. And that's where I kind of get off the winner wagon, you know, is that those top four horses. The fifth place horse is Two Fills. He's a good horse. He last won the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway. Well, the Jeff Ruby Stakes is a nice race. It's a graded race. but there's not a lot of big guns that go to that race. They kind of, avoid that. And so I think that he's going to fall victim to his race schedule that he was in. I think that's what's going to happen. He raced quite a few races over the winter, but he was lightly raced. And I mean, the fields that he came in were really kind of weak, that type of thing. Then we have Lord Miles. This guy's just, you don't know much about him. He came in and he won the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, and that was a long shot there. He just stunned the crowd with him. He'd be a lot of good horses. But we don't know how much that took out of him. We don't know what it did to him mentally and physically. Now you're coming up and you're going to have, 20 horses or 19 horses around you ready to roll, and you're going to have to earn every step of the way. You're going to have to earn it. Then we have Derma Sotogate. And I'm sorry about on that last name, but this is a Japanese horse, and he really looks tough. He does. I'm telling you, this horse ran second in the UAE Derby on March 25th, and he did good. So now I don't know where we're going at with this horse. If that took a lot out of him, he finished a good, hard second. And now you're looking at flying all the way over from the UAE, over change in water, change of everything. So he's going to be kind of hard to recommend. But like I said, I don't know the trainers or the horses over there and how they're doing. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes with that. Then Todd Pletcher's third horse that he has in the Derby is Kingsmarn. Really nice horse. He won second in the Louisiana Derby. And then at the fairgrounds, he trained. He was good. He was really good. Then we have Race King. Had 64 points. Lightly experienced. Who knows? He could get up there, but I kind of doubt it. There, so they that was interesting on him. And then as we go through the rest of them, this horse looked good the other day. His name's Madge, M-A-G-E. He had 50 points. He got Luis Saez on him, so I don't know how Luis is gonna do it. And he's got like three or four mounts, so they're fighting for him. The last race he had, he was second in the Grade One Florida Derby in Gulfstream. And so that was a long time ago, and then kind of walking right into the Kentucky Derby. So that's going to be interesting. This Blazing Sevens that Chad Brown had, he's a nice horse. He ran third in the Bluegrass on April the 8th, and they wouldn't take him off to the Derby. And to run second like that, I know it's great to want to run in the Derby, but it could be to the point to where he just can't take the big horses like that. And then we have one of Baffert's horses that was given to Tim Yankton. Johnny Velasco is going to ride him. He was third in the Arkansas Derby on April the 1st at Oakland. And again, that's a long time away from the Derby. And it's hard to keep them, race fit when you get going through the training programs. We have Jace's Road. It's a Brad Cox trained horse. Very nice horse. He was third in the Louisiana Derby on March 25th. And he was good. He was good, but that's a long time between March 25th and a Kentucky Derby. And it's hard to keep a horse maintained at top level, like that. So my recommendation is get your program, go out, watch the post parade when the horses are getting ready to go up to the gate, take a look at them, and pick the one that you like the best. that's all I'm saying, is because there's no mathematical formula to horse racing that you can say, hey, okay, guys, here we go. I think he's going to win because he's got nice ankles, got a good, strong head on him, got a big back, strong back on him, you know, and he looks the part. And that's just as good as anything else. And I always say, when it comes to betting in the racehorse business, no matter who you talk to, no matter what you read, just remember this. A wink is as good as a nod to a blind man. So what I'm saying is, it's your choice. There's no right or wrong way to do it, as long as you enjoy yourself. That's the main thing. So if you can tune in to IEN here next week, starting on, let's see here, what is that? We're starting on the 24th. If you come to our website, IENTV.org, you will be able to see the horses work in the morning. And it's, they usually come out and work just a little bit after 8 o'clock in the morning. And it's an hour-long program with commentary and you know, inside information on who's training and who's doing what. All the Derby horses on the track will have yellow saddle towels that say Kentucky Derby on them. And the fillies will have pink saddle towels that say Kentucky Oaks on them. And so our website's going to be very active in the next couple of weeks. If you want to take a look at it, you can see a lot of live things that are on there today. Like we got live racing from Keeneland. We got the Americans Today at the races that we have. Of course, we got how they make the garland roses. That will be live a week from today, or let's see, 2 weeks from today. You'll see how they make the garland of roses and the effort that goes into it. And really a good little thing to watch. It makes you appreciate the flowers that they have, you know, on Derby Day there. So I tell you, folks, it's end of the week. We got all our horses up to Kentucky for the Derby and all the stake races Derby week long. So we're all happy. We all made the trip good. We're excited about that. Forte worked this morning. Everybody was pleased with the work that he had. He'll have another work in a week from today or a week from tomorrow. He'll have that. He's staying strong. He hasn't missed a beat. He's just come right along. And in fact, if you go on the website to the trainer, Todd Fletcher talks about winning the Kentucky Derby and the plans that he has for Forte to move forward at all. So, but like I said, you know, just get out and make memories, enjoy yourself. You know, you don't have to bet money, you don't have to get drunk, but you can party and enjoy yourself, you know. And the main thing is, you know, I always emphasize, have a good time, you know, but don't do anything in excess. That's gambling, drinking, eating, you know. Just have a good time, make memories. And I guarantee you, when you go up to Churchill, you'll make friendships with people you never met before, from all over the country and all over the world. And I guarantee you that it's pretty much a sure thing that you will get back together with them the very next year, just like my niece has done with her friends that they met. And she's gone to 3 or 4 different locations over the past 10 years, you know, to visit with these people that she met. And it's really good. So, folks, enjoy your week. Start looking towards the Derby, making those summer plans to go see all the equestrian events that you can. And we'll be here next Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock.